Now, I've chosen as part of our preparation for the observance of the Lord's table to deal with two messages. They're not expository messages at all. They're rather topical on an issue that I believe will help your home. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not married, or I don't have a partner. Whatever the case might be, these principles will help you in your interpersonal communications with your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, those that are very close to you. And I hope that they will minister to you in a very, very special way. And you'll notice the topic that we're looking at in our message today is 10 questions every husband should ask his wife annually. And we're entering now into the year 2005. How many of you think that it's God's will for us to have strong, happy, loving homes? How many of you think that's the case? How many of you think that everyone is going to experience God's best in their home? Let me see your hands. No takers on that. Then there's something that needs to be looked at, something that needs to be evaluated. And we're going to be looking at these 10 questions. Remember, when the Apostle Paul deals with the subject of marriage, as portrayed in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, he's providing for us an analogy, according to verse 32, of the great mystery regarding Christ and the church. So therefore, we want to be adequate and proper portrayals of the relationship between Christ and the church. And as we prepare to observe the table of the Lord, and as we enter into the 2005 year, may that be our goal. Question number one, that every husband should ask his wife annually, what could I do to make you feel more loved? You know, it seems that oftentimes there's a loss in translation. Sometimes the husband can speak a different language than the wife, it appears. But you know, the Word of God is clear that God has made a wife to be a responder to love. In Ephesians 5 and verse 25, God's Word gives a command. Husbands, love your wives. It's in the imperative mood. It's a command. It's in the present tense. We're to continue to love our wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but if you look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, as we reflect upon the love of our Savior, even as we observe the table of the Lord today. In verse 19, the Word of God says, we love Him because He first loved us. Where did the initiation of love first begin? It began with the love of our Lord towards us. We love Him because He first loved us. Even so, a husband should be the initiator of love in his home. God has made a woman with a desire to feel protected. So that first question, what can I do to make you feel more loved, is a good one. Now, gentlemen, we need to be prepared to not only be hearers of the word, but doers. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you, as I will myself, that by the end of Sunday evening, as we've heard the morning message and we'll hear the evening message, looking at both sides, that we will go home and do our due diligence in having a family time away from the children where husbands and wives can come together and take some notes on the responses. I'm not going to preach totally your message, ladies or gentlemen, tonight, but await for the response.
because there will be variation in those answers. But what can I do to make you feel more loved? Sometimes we as men might say, well, I bring home the bacon. That ought to tell you right there that I love you. I want you to know that I didn't buy that set of golf clubs because I knew that we were going on vacation and we needed the money for that. Well, maybe we're speaking a different love language. And there needs to be an understanding about the type of love that fills your spouse's gas tank. It may not be the type of fuel that you're dealing with. Sometimes you deal with regular gas. Maybe your wife needs premium. Otherwise, there'll be some vehicular malfunction in the home. You don't take a Cadillac and put regular in it, do you? Okay, number two, second question. Every husband should ask his wife, what could I do to make you feel more respected? I ask you, husband, do you talk down to your wife? Do you respond to your wife with anger and animosity, thus portraying the fact that her viewpoint is not as important as yours? Has your voice lost the sweet tone that it once possessed during the early years of your courtship and marriage? What could I do to make you more respected? Do you include your wife in decision making? All of this, you see, is part of an answer in evaluating this second question. Do you treat your wife like a lady? Or are you rude and crude in your behavior and in your attitudes and in the treatment of your wife, even in public? Question number three, and you can see that time is quickly moving. We could camp on all of these and make sermons on them. But number three, third question every husband should ask his wife. What could I do to make you feel more understood? I ask you, do you have regular times of husband-wife intimate conversation, alone together, away from the kids, where you're able to gain one another's perspective? Do you listen to what your wife says, or do you merely hear what she says? There's a difference between listening and hearing. Have you lost the ability to feel what your wife feels? It's what we call empathy, empathos, to feel what your soulmate feels. Have you lost that ability? So that third question, what could I do to make you feel more understood, is very applicable. Number four, here's a fourth question for your family conference, your husband-wife conference together. What could I do to make you feel more secure? You know, it's possible to be married for 35 and 40 years and not feel secure. Husband, are you the spiritual leader of your home? Oftentimes there can be a lack of security feeling on the part of the wife, because the husband is not the spiritual leader of his home. Are you decisive or are you undecisive in decisions that affect the security of your home? You know, a woman is looking for a man to be decisive. Decisive, but yes, seeking the leadership and guidance of the Lord, and also an atmosphere where there can be free discussion before that final decision is made by the husband. Talk about a wife's security. Does your wife feel secure in your love? Are you able to hold down a job and meet the financial obligations of a family? Do you threaten to leave every time a disagreement arises in your home? A wife will not feel very secure, nor children for that matter, in that type of situation. Number five, what can I do to make you more confident in our future direction? You know, every home, every family needs to have long-term goals. Husband, men, it's our job to provide that long-term direction. We're the captain of our homes. Do you convey your long-term goals for your family to your wife? Some men, frankly, when it comes to long-term family and spiritual goals, are asleep at the wheel. Just take every day as we go along. Do you have any goals for your wife and family? Do you seek to save money for your family's future? Or do you spend all that you make and then some? That's going to arise for great insecurity. Talking about making your wife feel confident in future direction, do you make, as a husband, do you make irresponsible financial decisions with utter disregard for their impact on your family's future? Are you investing in your children by preparing them for life's obligations by the manner of your preparation and conduct in the home? Sixth question that every husband needs to ask his wife at the top of the year as you go along. This is a good one. What attribute would you like me to develop in my life? By the way, would you be open and responsive to your wife's suggestion if she made some statements as to attributes that you would need to develop? Does your wife see you as trying to improve? Or have you just kind of cut your engines in your marriage and you're just kind of allowing yourself to drift and there's no desire to improve yourself or your marriage or your relationship? Number seven kind of flips it around a little bit. What attributes would you like me to help you develop? You see, a wife has not arrived, but a wife would be interested. And we're not going to be getting into tonight's message, but what attributes would you like me to help you develop? A husband can actually be strategically involved in the spiritual development and assistance to his wife. You know, the Word of God reminds us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, it says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, verse 29, but he nourishes it. The word nourish is the Greek word to feed. Cherishes it. It's the concept of cuddling and ministering and providing emotional support. So therefore, there is a reciprocal. The Word of God teaches iron sharpens iron. So a husband can help his wife develop certain attributes. Ecclesiastes 4 reminds us two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Are you providing for a secure self-image of your partner? Or are you always critical and negative at every occasion? Number eight. These are good thoughts when it comes to preparing for the Lord's table in a very practical way, aren't they? Number 8, what achievement in my life would bring you the greatest joy? This is a conversation opener because, quite frankly, the answer, men, may shock us. Because we might expect you're getting that raise. We might expect you're getting that job that'll help you climb the corporate ladder. Or you're getting that account that you've been wanting all these years. You might be surprised. Her answer may be surprisingly simple as to what would give her the greatest joy. As a matter of fact, I think it probably might echo the words of the Apostle John that there's no greater joy than to know that we're walking in biblical truth and in obedience to God's Word in the function and in the capacity that God would have us to. We might be very, very surprised at the simplicity of what would really bring our wives joy. And it's not just $1 million or getting a bigger house. And aren't you lucky that that's not the case? Most of you would never be able to fulfill that. But I think that we would find it amazingly reachable with the assistance of our Lord to bring our spouse the greatest of joy by walking in God's Word. Number 9. What would indicate to you that I really desire to be more Christ-like? What would indicate to you, dear wife, that I desire to be more Christ-like? Is your wife aware of the fact that you have a personal time in the Word of God on a daily basis? Are your children aware of that? Do your children see you ever reading the Bible? Are they aware of that? Do you read the Scriptures or have a regular time of prayer individually? What would indicate to you that I really desire to be more Christ-like? Do you have a desire to have the mind of Christ? Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Then number 10, what mutual goal would you like to see us accomplish together? What mutual goal? You know, the Scriptures say, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You've heard of soup starter. This is some very efficient and effective conversation starter. It might be that some of you might desire in the quietness of this afternoon to have a discussion in answer to some of these 10 questions that frankly ought to top off and be of extreme importance in our goals and our settings in the home and in marriage. Some of you might, just to have it more convenient, to wait till tonight's message and then look at both of these issues. I think that looking at it from one another's perspectives will be tremendously effective. Now, why is it that I would have a message on the home with the observance of the table of our Lord? Because our worth to God in public is, frankly, what we are in private. And oftentimes we would rather hear great theological statements and forget that all of our theology is worthless unless it's outworked and lived in the home. The Scriptures teach that the very first institution that the Lord established in Genesis chapter 2 was the home. And while we would love to be able to have an exposition on the church, perhaps, prior to observing the table of the Lord established the home before He did the church. The home is the laboratory, folks, that's going to perpetuate the development and the movement and the blessing on the body of Christ. May the Lord challenge us to see these questions as opportunities to reflect. Now, some of you might say, well, my kids are all gone and I've been married 85 years. Well, that's okay. Work on your communication with your wife and use these questions, even in marriage counseling and instructing one another. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we prepare to observe the table of the Lord, we're mindful of what your word says, that the home and the instruction of the teaching and the formation of the home is a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. Lord, give us as men the sensitivity that Christ has for his body. Father, may communication flow in our homes, even as our Lord has communicated his eternal truths to us through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit and the example of our Savior in his selfless giving of himself. Lord, we all as husbands fail in our responsibility. We've all, Lord, encountered areas where we need to improve in these 10 areas even that we've covered. But Father, may this provide the groundwork for the improvement, not in the energy of the flesh, but as we come together in the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us and a desire to be obedient to your word. May these 10 questions, Lord, provide an environment of growth and soul oneness that our homes so desperately need. Lord, as we gather together to observe the table of the Lord, thank you for your love towards us. And Lord, we would examine our hearts and confess all known sin and rebellion against you in preparation for this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.